Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud today. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm alright song. My power turned up. Stop it right now. I'll be gone. I'll play my fight.
Your host, Merle Exit. Well, I think it's about maybe it's 40 degrees-ish right now, and snow here in New York City is pretty much cleared up, at least in front of my home. And so, what is that, 11:30 a.m. here. And, well, we're going to be talking about art, specifically a museum located in Toronto, called the Modern Toronto, which is a non-for-profit organization. Modern meaning it's also abstract art. But, well, we'll find out, because we're going to be having Ben Wolfit, the owner, who's also an artist, and he's going to join us. But in the meantime, let's have him. Oh, yes, I just got the fairy tale brownies in.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy tale brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these brownies at www.brownies.com, as well as their cookies. Okay, before I drool, I think I got Ben here on the line to talk with us. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
So, introduce yourself as to who you are, what you do, before we get into the museum itself.
My name is Ben Wolfit. I'm a painter and have started a foundation and a museum in Toronto, Canada. I reside in Toronto as well as in New York, and I've shown my work extensively in Canada for many, many years.
What type of art do you do?
I'm an abstract painter. Basically,
Do you have any?
And I do a lot of drawing work.
Oh, okay. How long have you been painting? Or what kind of, what kind of materials do you tend to use, by the way?
I work with acrylic on canvas as my main material. I started painting in 1968. I had my first one-man exhibition in 1969. And I work with, the current work is acrylic on canvas, and I integrate a plexiglass extension on the canvas. Most of the pieces are about 5.5 by 6.5 feet. So they're quite large, and I compose these with about 100 to 150 layers of paint. So they're very, very transparent surfaces.
How, like, when you're working on a piece because of that size, like, approximately how long does it take for a piece to get done? I'm curious.
Well, I lay them down essentially a coat of paint a day. So, and I would work on typically three pieces at a time. So in a 3 to 4 to 5 month period, I would finish around three pieces.
Oh, okay. And do you have, I understand you also, you have a studio in New York as well?
Correct. In Manhattan, in the Lower East Side, in the 9th and C area near the Alphabet,
mm-hmm.
in the Alphabet City.
Right. And is this not something like, do you ever set it up like as a gallery for people to come to view, or just this is your own private studio?
It's my own private studio. I have had a couple of open houses where I've invited people to come through and to see the work. It's a nice venue for that.
So tell me about how did the Modern Toronto come about?
Well, it was an interesting venture. I actually met one day with a gentleman who was involved with being one of the principal people for bringing Inuit sculpture into Toronto, and he was lamenting that they did not have a place as a museum that showed exclusively the Inuit sculpture.
Can you tell us, by the way, what that is?
Eskimo sculpture out of soapstone and materials like this, soapstone, whalebone, work like that.
Okay.
I had purchased a large property in Toronto, which when I purchased, it was in an industrial area. And over the last 20 years, has developed into a very hip, cool area to be in. And at the time I said to him, well, maybe I can help you with that, because I had a piece of land on my corner that could be set up as a museum. In a subsequent conversation with Ken Moffat, who used to be the curator at the Boston Museum of the Contemporary, he says, well, you know, why do you want to work with that? Why don't you work with the kind of painting that you're involved in? I thought, that makes a lot of sense. Subsequently, I did a lease with a developer, and I took that money and purchased 7 commercial condominiums in the buildings behind me. And I felt that for a foundation that I'd set up, I felt that a lot of the museums are starting to veer towards more photography, more installation, more video, and I really wanted to focus, to have a place in Toronto that was focused on non-objective painting with some sculpture. And that was really the way that I started out. We've done our second show. We're just getting ready to open our third show now. And it's actually, we're now seeing anywhere from 20 to 70 people a day going through the museum.
Is that, I'm not sure, is that a, well, I guess compared to I guess the biggest one in Toronto is the Royal, the biggest one, by the way.
The Royal Ontario Museum is a museum for artifacts, and then there's the Art Gallery of Ontario. Well, of course.
Okay.
And then there's the Power Plant and MOCA, M-O-C-A, Museum of Contemporary Art. I mean, compared to these are large institutions. They have, very large square footage, and they will be putting, in the case of the Art Gallery of Ontario, I would assume they're putting through thousands of visitors a day. It's not even comparable. This is a very, very small private foundation. But when we opened our doors, and we opened from nothing, with these condominiums, we were seeing 5 to 40 people a day. So we've had a very, I'm very pleased with it.
That sounds really good. So and all the artists, how do you choose the artwork?
Well, we have a board of directors, and I head up. I'm the executive director, and we do a presentation. There's a number of conditions that we apply. First of all, the person, we in no way want to duplicate the effort of other institutions. So if the artist is showing and very well known in the Toronto area, we would likely not choose that artist. We show only living artists, and we are non-collecting. So if people do donate to us, our recent show by Sullivan, Francoise generously gave us a painting, which we have sold to assist in the financing of the museum. So we will go through, and so it'll be a living artist. It will not be widely shown and known in the Toronto/Ontario area. And we would like to think that we're actually introducing new work and work that has not recently been seen in the Toronto area, so that it's more of a learning experience than just, I believe that museums always should have an educational side.
Oh, good. Do people tend to stand there and look at paintings and try to figure out what it is, or ask what it is, or they just, how is it? How does that all work when someone comes in and looks at an abstract painting?
Well, we have a manager there who will, and some of the time I'm there or one of the other people, we have only one employee, and we have four rooms, so there will be approximately 20, in the case of the current show, say 20 works of art up. Frequently they have heard about the show, as we're not kind of a walk-in street front. We're a destination. So they will have likely heard about the gallery or been suggested that they attend. And our manager is very good about walking them through, telling them a bit about the artist, what their background is, and kind of the direction of the work. So in the case of Sullivan, the artist that we have up at the moment, her show is ending today. She was one of the people, along with some other people out of Quebec, who signed the Refuse Globel, which was a major statement in Canadian and particularly in Quebec painting. And it was a real turning point. So She is now, I believe, 93 years old, and she is still actively painting and doing really wonderful work. So, you know, she has a lot of history to her work. She was initially a dancer. So Christian would take a bit of time and walk through the history with them, and really show them. Like, for example, one of the paintings in the show, she was quite fascinated with. She has a cottage in the country, and she did this one painting actually with seawater. It's actually executed. It's acrylic executed with seawater. So it's quite quite an interesting way when you start to look at how these people have gone about their creative lives.
And I understand that you have a new artist coming in?
Correct. We have a installation happening this week by a sculptor by the name of André Fauteau. He actually is a Toronto sculptor. And these paintings, these sculptures have actually, some of them have been shown in Toronto, but not for a long time. And I felt it would be very good for people to be exposed to these, to get to take another look at them. Most of the work was done in around the year 2000, so approximately 20 years ago. André has a very, very strong biography. He's exhibited widely, but these sculptures have not been on view for quite some time. I think it will be fascinating for people to see them and to hear their response to these.
Oh, okay. Perhaps you can, when I go on the website, will I be able to see some of the artwork?
Yes, if you go to our website, themoderntoronto.ca, you'll be able to see some of the new work that is available. We update that regularly, so that's very visible there.
Oh, okay. Now, I understand that, I met you at Marlene Yu's foundation. What got you there, by the way? What interested you in getting there?
I know Donald Cuthbert, who has actually written about Marlene's work. And...
Mm-hmm.
He recommended that I see her work and talk with her. And actually that's where I met you when I was on one of my visits out there to see her work. So we are planning on exhibiting Marlene's work. I think it will be early in the spring. And it will be a really, Marlene has a very, very specific talent that is quite fascinating to me. Marlene has the uncanny ability to do very, very large paintings. Like, I'm talking like 60-foot paintings, which I'm sure that you have seen there. Tremendous ease. And this, I'm not sure that we will show the 60-foot paintings. We haven't really gone into all the details yet. But this completely fascinates me that an artist, I mean, Marlene is, you know, she's in the same age area as I am. She's not, and we're no longer that young. but with tremendous ease, she can execute one of these large paintings, whereas most painters are really delighted with themselves if they can do, you know, a 3 or 4 foot painting. And Marlene can whip these 60 foot paintings off just like Jack Snapp. It is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, I know. I've been fascinated with them ever since the first time I went to a reception and saw these. I went, well, and it's not like that they're not pretty, but it's, you know, I mean, the visual is what I think captured me of the paintings.
It's just, I mean, it's just amazing, you know, like that she can move from, like she can do a, you know, a 2 foot by 3 foot painting. And I don't know, actually know exactly how often she does these, but she can move from a 2 foot by 3 foot painting to a 60 foot painting with seemingly tremendous ease. That's just a totally crazy ability.
Yeah, I understand. So
I think it's
going to
be a fascinating show.
So in terms of the space that you have, like, what kind of sizes of paintings can you even accommodate of hers? How wide, tall, and whatever?
We would have, basically, we have 3 rooms that are, like, 25 feet by 25 feet. And then we have an entrance / reception room that is the same size. So, you know, we're dealing with a space that is about 2,500 to 3,000 square feet in total. So, you know, the best size for us to show really is going to be, you know, anything from, you know, say the 3x4s up to, say, a 10-foot panel. Those will be the best.
So when you say 10 foot, is that 10 feet long or 10 feet high? You mean?
We could do actually a 10-foot high piece. Our rooms
and
would
how and how long?
About,
how long? I'm just trying to visualize having seen
about
one of these
feet,
huge
15
ones.
18 feet. So, you know,
okay,
her really big ones, we unfortunately cannot do.
No, right.
But which is unfortunate. But people will get the idea of how she can deal with scale. And, you know, you've made actually a very good point. That's a very interesting thing for us to focus on, to show how she moves from one scale to another, because this is really one of her tremendous gifts.
Yeah. She also has her own museum, too, which I've never seen.
She has a foundation.
The Marlene Yu Museum that's in Shreveport.
And then the museum, which is... So she has set up quite an extensive... situation. I have not been down to see the museum in Shreveport yet, but I will eventually get down that way.
I believe she's doing a painting just for you. It's not just like she's going to take paintings she's already done, because I think she's painting one just for the occasion. At
Wonderful.
Least one.
Wonderful. But it's what she has done is really, and there's a very nice, she's from Taiwan, and there's a very nice element of this in the work. I mean, they've done tremendous, a tremendous contribution to the art world.
Yeah, it is. I think one of the next, I think the next one she's going to do is in regard to local artists. There's a whole thing in Long Island City Arts Group. Well, Long Island City seems to be inundated with a lot of artists right now. So I think that may be something that's going to go on. But I'm curious, so you spend most of your time living in Toronto or equal time between New York and Toronto?
Yes, I spend about six months of the year in Canada and the rest of my time in New York or traveling. I usually do a couple of trips into Europe and into Tokyo, occasionally into Sydney a year to look at art and see what's going on and to look for artists.
Oh, okay. That's good to hear. By the way, to show you how long ago it was that I was in Toronto, I had met, now I have to think, I was a Mervish, the guy.
Yes, Ed Mervish and his son David Mervish.
Yes, Ed Mervish. I met him.
He's a, they were major, major contributors to the business world and to the art world. Ed ran a number of theaters, and which they are still running, as well as having a major store in Toronto. And David has been a major art collector for many, many years. I met David in 1966. He used to show all the, Jules Zelinski, Frank Stella, David Smith, all these people, Larry Poons. I ran into Larry yesterday afternoon, actually. He knew and showed all of these people. I mean, it was a major force. And he collected them extensively. Like, he actually used to, he used to actually buy the shows that were going to be in most of the exhibits. So he would go and see Jules Zelinski or Frank Stella, and he'd say, well, I'll buy 10 paintings to exhibit. And he would keep, if they didn't sell, he would keep them. And they would go into his collection. And he amassed this amazing collection of work. I believe at one point he owned almost all the black Stellas that were available in the world. I mean,
wow.
he's been a tremendous supporter and of the artists that he works with.
Oh, that's really great. So in other words, because I went online and I guess that Ed died.
Correct. Ed is no longer with us.
David is still around.
Yes, and David's heading up the theaters. He was recently worked with the city and did a plan for a major development and a plan for an art museum, and it was a bit too large. He worked with Frank Gehry on this project. Frank Gehry did the Bilbao, and it was a big development. I believe they were looking at 2 or 3 80-story towers. The city didn't like the density, and he was going to build a major museum in the base of it for some of his collection, but that has actually now been scaled back, and I was speaking with David the other day, he's actually sold the development off. I mean, as you know, developing is an enormous task unto itself.
Oh, sure. Oh, well, so The good news, by the way, that you said, because when you said the earlys, that in terms of Marlene's artwork, you said the early spring, because I thought it was going to be February, and I'm going, oh, my God, it's so cold in February there.
Yeah, Canada, you know, I come from Saskatchewan originally, which is like in the middle of Canada. And when I grew up, we would not infrequently get weather that was minus 40 with a wind chill of minus 100. I mean, that is cold. But
yeah.
Toronto's nothing like that. I mean, but it'll be cold for sure. But I believe the show is going to run early in February till sometime in April.
So you're looking to early February to have our show there.
I believe that's the dates that are being discussed with her. Yes, the other show is ending in early in February, and then when Marlene's ready, we'll bring her show in. So it'll be very exciting.
Oh okay. Because I was thinking about going up there. I already made a mistake of going in February 1 year, and I said, I was with one of my friends, and we went, what are we doing here? Why in the world did we pick February?
We'll make sure we have some nice weather for you. How's that?
Yeah. Well, you got the underground, except that the underground doesn't go where your place is.
No, we're
a bit further out,
for sure.
Yeah. But then again, as I was looking at the map of the underground, there's really not any attractions. It seems like mostly, you know, stores or business and restaurants, that kind of a thing. That's down there. As you know, I mean, you gotta get it. You gotta go upstairs and get out of there to get to, you know, the places you want to visit.
Yeah, it's really based on the business core area of the city rather than the, you know, the gallery museum. But you can go by subway directly to the museum. I don't think into the museum. I think you're like, you know, just a few feet away. And the art gallery is like two blocks away. So, you know, you can get pretty close to a lot of these major institutions with our underground systems.
Okay. That's good to know. I think I've been to Toronto maybe 3 or 4 times in my life already. You know, it got to be I'm not going to go. It's like been there, done that. But I'm sure since the last time I was there, there's still a lot to see that I haven't, you know, because I've gone to different areas, and I love it. I love that the city.
It's a beautiful city. I mean, it's a nice political climate, and Toronto has expanded unbelievably. I mean, people keep saying, is this going to be the last year of this major expansion, but it's just there are so many new buildings in that city, it's unbelievable. I'm sure that Long Island City is going to go through the same kind of very ramped up change now that these announcements have just been made. But
without Amazon, huh?
Correct. It's going to really change that area.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know that it will for the good. We'll have to see.
You know,
how that affects it.
I actually didn't venture into that deliberately.
Yeah. You know, I just had this flashback of going to Toronto, and why do I think there's some kind of not a holiday, but some celebration every year, like a Mardi Gras, not a Mardi Gras, something.
Caravana.
Yes.
We have a very, very large caravana that takes place in the summer, and people come from everywhere for that. I think it's the largest in the world now. It goes on. I'm just looking it up quickly now, and they announced that it's going on for the better part of a month. But it's really a big weekend affair that is over the top.
Well, the flashback I got is I had gone there. And I met, who's the head of Toronto was headed by the, what? Like, Toronto, no, not a mayor, right? What do you have?
We have a mayor, yes, correct.
Well, okay, it was higher than that. What? It was higher than that.
It could have been a premier?
Yeah.
Who would be the head of the province. And then we have
a province
prime minister.
That's what it was. It was the prime minister, plus it was the new prime minister and whatever there was, the prime minister before, the outgoing or whatever. And they were both there, and I met them and sat there and dined with them.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and but when I travel, these are the kind of things that I kind of ask for to make my articles a little more special, you know.
Absolutely.
So when I come up there, I'm going to make you special.
Fantastic! That's wonderful. Well, I think. Even if you don't come for the opening of Marlene's show, I think you'll come and see it while it's up, and it will be, I mean, April is quite beautiful there, and you'll really enjoy it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, after we finish this show here, I'm going to call you back to talk to you about it, okay?
Terrific. Great.
Okay. So, all right, so is anything you want to share with us to add to this?
Well, I'd really like you to come and visit the museum in Toronto. I will be exhibiting my work in New York. I just finished a one-man show with my dealer in Ontario, the Ueno Gallery, and I will be exhibiting my work in New York, hopefully early in the of next year.
Oh, okay. Well, definitely, you have my email. So, let me know when you're doing it, and then I can attend the reception and write about it.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
In the meantime, I already have two articles that you're in. I had to get two articles on Toronto out, and I went, all right, let me get this, and let me get you in this.
Well, I really appreciate your effort. It's really tremendous.
Yeah, I enjoy having you on, and I'm looking forward to seeing your stuff, and I'm looking forward to hopefully making my way to Toronto.
Absolutely. Well, very
okay.
Good. This is terrific. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and I'll talk to you in a little while.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Take it easy.
Bye for now. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. Well, I'm going to end the show, and let's see what I can do about going up there. So everybody, I also, well, today I'm going to be indulging in I guess Caribbean food. Well, the food is actually, it's going to be from Guyana. I'm going to have the chef come on the show maybe, you know, tomorrow or so to talk about, you know, this type of cuisine. The chef had won a chicken soup cook-off. Surprisingly, I have to say surprisingly, because it was, at least for me, the spiciest chicken soup of the 18 restaurants that have participated. And I definitely wouldn't have expected both the judges and the People's Choice Award to have him. Not to say it wasn't good, but it was unexpected anyway. So everybody have a great day, evening, or, you know, whenever you're listening to this, and chickens are busy.